More variety.
You're listening to Para X.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Coming to you live and direct from my subterranean lair inside the third dimension of planet Earth. My name is Ra, and I'm here to awaken the dormant particles that are spiraling inside your DNA. So come with me as we go further down the mystical spiral of life. It's Spiral Radio, baby, where each and every week we unveil the different shades of you and the different shades of me until we are all vibrating the same frequency. I want to welcome everybody. We almost got a full moon out. It's really close to a full moon. We got a really great guest tonight lined up for you. You can find him at The Illusion of Us on Amazon, on Facebook. He's an author, and he's come to share some knowledge with us that he spent a good chunk of his last few years diligently researching. Matthew LaCroix is a very passionate writer, everyone. He's got an adventurous, high energetic spirit, and he's really kind-hearted, and he grew up in the outdoors and had a real strong connection back to nature after a really interesting, life-threatening experience that he maybe will talk about with us. And you know, he got a good connection back to Gaia after this experience, and he's here to share with us all his interesting info. And I want to welcome everybody to Spiral Radio, Matt LaCroix. Welcome, Matthew.
Thanks. Great to be here, Ra.
It's my pleasure, definitely. So if you don't mind, you know, because an hour is going to go by so fast, Matt, that if you don't mind just telling everybody, you know, how you became such a passionate writer and where you had this almost like awakening in your spirit.
All right. Well, it's kind of a nice story. I was someone who always never really fit in. People would have parties going in high school, and I was just someone who was maybe off on some backpacking trip somewhere, or you know, exploring someplace somewhere, just completely off the mainstream grid. And in college, I began to kind of go further and further and start, you know, conquering the highest peaks I possibly could in all seasons, especially winter, and go out as far as I could into the wilds. And just, it was, to me, I knew there was something wrong with the way society was, and I didn't fit in, and so I just kind of rejected it. And I spent all my time just out in nature. And I ended up having these just profound experiences where it pushed me to the very edge of my life. You know, getting lost in blizzards above treeline, where you think your moments are right you know, are you're only your last few moments before maybe you have to say goodbye to this world. And then something happens where you see a clearing in the fog, and you're able to finally get through.
Yeah.
Push through what you didn't think, energy you didn't think what you had left. You know, I've lived some moments that when I was done living them, I realized I had to write. And the one moment though that you were referencing was during college. I went off in the deepest part of the White Mountains you can, and I wanted to just camp and try to be somewhere that I could just be alone for a couple of days to do some writing. At that point, I was just dabbling and just spend some time away from all, because that was at that point I was early in college and things were busy and changing. And it was fall at that point, and in the Northeast in New England, there's an animal here called a moose, which most people know about, but they don't know how dangerous they can actually be during rutting season. In places like Alaska, they actually have that's the most dangerous animal that exists, not a grizzly bear, but actually a bull moose, because they'll just charge you and kill you during the rutting season.
Yeah.
And so I was stupidly out there in the middle of nowhere, 6 miles from the nearest road, from where my car was.
Damn.
Camping, and I woke up, I was awakened in about 5:45 in the morning, at the first cold morning of the year with ice covering everything, to this huge moose that was charging me because
Jeez.
I was in his territory. And so over this course of the next 30, 40 minutes, I was basically, he was circling me like a movie. And
oh my God, 40 minutes?
And I was trying to, basically almost fighting for my life, getting all my gear together and then running out while he was kind of off in the distance for a few moments. Just it was very much like a movie. And
Jeez,
as much as people like to embellish things, when I eventually did get back to my dorm room, the really funny thing about it is, after all that tangling through bushes and running from this moose that almost
trampled me. It must have seemed so surreal
me.
When you got back to your dorm.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
And then when I got back to my dorm, my roommate was still asleep, which is kind of what's funny about it.
Holy.
So anyway, after that moment, I actually, that same day, because this was early in the morning, that same day I sat down and wrote the entire thing down, because I knew that nobody would really believe these things, and they started accumulating. And I wrote another book, my first book actually in college, called My Wilderness. It was the idea that I wanted to kind of lose myself in the wilderness, because I didn't like the way that society had turned into and the things that they had spent their time enjoying. Like, instead of parties and football games, I wanted to be out climbing a peak or fly fishing or something like that.
Yeah.
Going down a rock slide or something. So anyway, I started writing, and I started writing for outdoor magazines like Backpacker Magazine, which is actually pretty popular, and then AMC Outdoors.
Yeah.
And then I wrote the first book, and then but at that point I hadn't done any truth ancient history truth connection stuff. It was like I guess you could call it a seed sleeping, right? Somebody
yeah.
who had the foundations of Yeah, somebody who had the foundations of, I'm a geography guy. That's what I do for my job. So understanding the entire world around you, and then somebody who's connected to the nature and all those things. Once the bomb got dropped for me, I just kind of filled in the gaps, and it became very easy for me to follow, because I wasn't corrupted by that veil of society of materialism and wanting to just be a conformed person. Because if you're like that, and the more successful you are as part of that illusion we live in this game, the harder it'll be to accept the truths of what we really are, because it goes against everything that we've kind of been taught. And so when without those restrictions, and one of some of the things that kind of blew everything open was things like reading The Serious Mystery from Robert Temple, and then watching things like Ancient Aliens and things like that. And then it was kind of just read as much as possible with an objective mind and try to learn as much as I could from what I was quickly deciphering was either misinformation or felt like it was actually really resonant truth. And when a lot of people have a misconception that truth is just everyone's truth, like there isn't actually a constant truth. But that's not actually true. There is a constant truth, and it exists. And it's been largely lost, and sure. it's been fought and hidden over for thousands of years, because the truth is so powerful that it changes everything in the fabric of your reality. So So that's why this idea of the truth not being constant has taken over a lot of the minds of what society considers. But like you know, Ra, the truth, there are things that we know. If we look at ancient history and cuneiform tablets, if we look into these ancient pyramids and structures, we can find truth based on what was left from the past, right?
Yeah, exactly. Totally with you on that. And it's these truths that have been hidden for thousands of years. And, you know, if you want to call them the elites of the world, they have purposely hid it from us and placed a veil over our consciousness. So we are limited to what we can explore in our minds and in our consciousness. You know, there's this veil that needs to be lifted. And it's interesting that, you know, most people to go down the spiritual path or to unlock these truths, their back has to be up against the wall. You know what I mean? They have to experience the life-altering event, usually, that puts them down that path.
And I think that, and there's a really strong reasoning behind that. And if you look at when someone is a child, and then they go through to the point where they get to be a teenager and then a young adult, over that entire course of time, every individual is going to have a different set of circumstances that is going to kind of create where they get to. But largely because of the way that it's been designed around every model of our fabric of our society, most people have all gone down the same path. So they've all kind of gone they've followed the herd of society and just kind of gone the same way. And that direction has been very cleverly orchestrated so that society will stay modeled in this illusion of what they really should be doing, their purpose. And what's the reasoning behind all of this? A lot of people think conspiracies are too big to be true.
That's the whole thing, is that they feed us all this misinformation that when we hear the actual truth, it's so mind-boggling because we've been fed all this stuff about, oh, this is what it's been, this is cut and dry, this is our existence. So then we get all this misinformation so that when we hear it, it's like so mind-shocking what the actual truth can be that it's unbelievable.
It is, and that's the thing that's the hardest, is if you don't follow steps in a particular order when you're learning about the truth, if someone was just to throw a bunch of it down at you, you would reject it immediately because you're throwing too much at the subconscious.
Sounds like sci-fi mumbo jumbo, yep.
Yeah, exactly. And so we were talking about these individuals and how they can kind of reach a certain point of truth. You said someone has to be pushed against the wall, right? Has to be pushed to the very edge of kind of darkness to be able to kind of come back. And the reasoning behind that is it represents in a lifetime of completely kind of controlling the computer that is our brain to kind of manipulate it into a certain thought process. So by the time they get to a certain age, you know, you're done schooling, maybe you're finally out of college, you're just thrown right into maybe a full-time job and a family, and there's no time for you to ever research, do anything, to look into all the time that you spend accumulating what you consider knowledge to actually learn some of the truths of what really exists around us. And so what happens to someone, right? When someone goes through a dramatic event in their life where they're maybe at the lowest point and they kind of give up on everything, maybe they say, I don't believe in anything spiritual. I you know, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in anything. It's like, it's almost, a lot of times it's almost like they have to get to that point of rejecting everything to finally then kind of be reborn and then think, have a thought process that represents nothing holding it back, to represent a point where you're saying I'm rejecting all these things because they've led me to this point where my life is, you know, it's like darkness right now. I have no optimism in my life. And then at that point, they kind of seek something else, right? They look for an alternative to something else besides this mundane existence where they work all day long, they come home, this TV's blaring in front of them, it's playing something with like a reality show on it. And then they're supposed to maybe go to a bar and drink a bunch and then talk about what's on sports, the sports team, and then who's on what reality show and what TV cover. And then before long, their life is just wasted. By the time they die, they look back and they haven't actually done anything. They haven't. There's nothing for them to be remembered by. There's nothing that they've actually done, and so that's the great illusion. And that's why if you look at studies, the greatest regret people have before they die is that they never lived. They never did anything. Because, like you know, Ra, that gray veil that the Enoch talks about that's been placed over us, that is based on this life of conformity and illusion that's been fed to us through our curriculum, through our politics, our television shows, the media, every aspect of what this is has been done in such a way where we are enslaved here without even knowing it. And so the idea is this: we're on this amazing, we're on this planet that's flying through the galaxy, right? On the edge of the spiral of our galaxy, right? The solar system that we're in. And people are walking around in this illusion where they never actually think about the fact that they're on a planet. And if you look at that, yeah, with all
on
the
a
technology
spaceship floating
have,
through the guy, you know, just exactly. Like on, yep.
If you look at that and you think for a minute with all the technology we have, right? All the things that show us about our universe and our where we are. Even with all of that, people have been so misguided by this illusion, this veil, that they ignore it. All of it is ignored, and it's like the Truman Show, where it's this creative reality that isn't even real. Which is the idea is, we're on this planet, you know, in the solar system, flying through space, and we're this super evolved species that has the ability for infinite potential, that has more brain power than anything on this Earth even combined. Our brains are so powerful that we are actually smarter than any AI technology that could be invented right now.
I agree. It's 100 times more powerful than we even realize.
Yes, and we're only using about
10%
of our brain capacity, and that shows you that we still have about 90% of our conscious evolution left before we actually reach our highest potential. And if you watch a movie like Lucy, you can kind of see where we're kind of going. I believe there's a lot of truth in that movie. And like Ra was saying, the truth is so hard to believe that I believe that a lot of science fiction movies have bits and pieces of truth all edged in them to kind of ease us into the truth so that when we eventually do get the truth, you know, things like Star Trek and all those things, to give us the idea that we're part of this vast cosmos and that we're making decisions on our future based on, is our species going to be dependent on raping its natural resources and just trying to get as much wealth as possible and fighting each other? Or is it going to be based on the idea of a sustainable world and in learning about the ancients and what they were trying to tell us about and reconnecting with the stars like we used to be back in the day? And all these relics are left over all over the world, strewn everywhere, right in front of our faces, that scream to that all that existed, and we're willing to ignore that simply because we're unwilling to accept the fact that we've been misled and in our life has been kind of an illusion of what it could have been. You know, nobody wants to be told that they've been wasting their time. But if you, like Ra knows, when you learn the truth of the whole purpose behind why they're concealing the truth is that if you know who we really are, you're not going to want to spend all your time at some mundane job somewhere doing something that's wasting all your precious time here. You're going to the entire fabric of society, right? Somebody working two jobs to get by, never having any time to do anything. And then in doing, you know, like flipping burgers or someone that's working a job that takes zero brain power. If they realize their potential and what they really are, do you think those people really want to do that anymore?
No.
Those would all be automated things.
But
you would lose all that productivity of keeping people their attention. You would lose the idea that their time is being pushed somewhere and their energy. You know, the movie like The Matrix, how we're just being used for energy. Well, if you think of how this illusion is making us think that all we should be doing is working and just using all of our energy. Think of when you get home at the end of the day to have our free time, right? The free time that we're allowed, you get home from your free time and then your energy is all drained, right? How are you supposed to ever be able to look into knowledge that's deep into the occult of learning about why the pyramids were designed or why learning about like the the very cosmos itself. How are you supposed to even look into any of this if your energy's been drained all day of working? And that's the very idea.
It's almost like, you know, that it is some sort of simulation for our consciousness. So our consciousness can be preoccupied with the media, with religion, with all these prisons for our consciousness.
Exactly. You know? And that's why the book is called – the book that I wrote is called The Illusion of Us, The Suppression and Evolution of Human Consciousness. Because when I realized it, looking at every single side of it, from how medicine is all artificial and controlled by the pharmaceutical company that all dumbs down our consciousness, to food, all having these very, very known things pushed in them that promotes them all being unhealthy, right? Kicking all the local things out that are all healthy for us, pushing out the idea of home-cooked meals, to have people all be engineered to the idea of eating out, to all these terrible foods. And then the idea of what religion turned into and what our indoctrination and our schooling turned into. And before long, I realized it was this great illusion. It was this great manufactured reality to hold back and keep us in a prison of our consciousness, like you said.
Yeah. It really is. I mean, even if I've had some experiences even in meditative state, when you sort of like go into the astral and you look down on Earth, when you can leave the atmosphere, and it's almost like there's these circles around the Earth with these cubes in it, and each cube is a prison, like the Mormon Church, the Catholic Church, all these little prisons for our consciousness. And I really feel like that is my mind's way of telling me, you know, we're locked down, and everybody's different consciousness maybe explains things different, but I feel that my own soul explained to me to that way that they're in our dream time, or in our soul state, our spirit state, you know, our astral form, we are being controlled in our consciousness, which manifests what goes on in our physical life.
Exactly. And that's a really good point.
As above, so below. You know, it's what happens to us in that consciousness form, our spiritual form, will directly affect our lives in the physical plane.
Exactly. And so what happens if you cause chaos to that physical plane? And now if you read about what a lot of the ancient writings, they call the third dimension the plane. That's what they simply call it, because of the fact that there are so many dimensions and layers of dimensions, both lower dimensions and higher dimensions.
Yes.
And as you said, as above, as below. We're talking about a balancing act, right? A balancing act where the third dimension acts as the grand stage for where this great movie is going to play out. Where is the direction going of all the different evolutionary paths of these advanced beings, and how we're all kind of part of something? We're all part of a bigger story, and we're all playing. There's so many elements that are part of this, and here we are on Earth. We think that we're kind of just. So many people think that we're just kind of here alone, fighting for ourselves and fighting for our evolution, and that we're driving our own story. And it's actually, the more you look, the more you see it's the complete opposite. And that it's kind of a battle of driving our story for us to kind of push it a certain direction, and by one means versus another means. So if we get into this now, and Ra's gonna know all about where this direction is going. If you look at the idea of if there's two sides of where a timeline could go, now, and it could represent two sides of a family, and one side of the family has certain values that it follows, and then the other side of the family has certain other values. And if you think of the polarity of humanity and how we have everything from someone who's a complete saint and a like an angel spirit here, to someone who's a murderous tyrant who has zero connection to his emotions and is like
the
just
duality. Yep.
Yeah. So if you look at that aspect and you look at how certain beings could and their family traits could say, well, I want to take the power of the side I have of the people that are underneath me, of the civilizations and the people that I control. I want to push the direction that I decide on the values. Like, I want to be a war tyrant. I want to focus on ruling empires and ruling by might. And instead of using the mind and consciousness, it'll be about physical power and about dominating the landscape around you, or versus the complete opposite, right? About a place that it's about connecting with the world around you and becoming part of the world around you and becoming a spiritual being, and the opposite of war, about complete peace, and how there would be no reason for war if it was just something you could just sit down and talk. I mean, if someone was to throw words at another person, you know, blah, 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 this is your religion, I'm saying this, and then they kill the other person. If you look at that objectively and stand back and think to yourself, that human being just murdered another human being because they spoke words to them.
Yeah.
They just said little sounds out of their mouth, and those sounds weren't what the other person wanted to hear.
Yeah,
so that
yeah.
person has been so brainwashed into believing that that action is okay, that they kill the other person because of it, right? And that is that mentality of our world, of how those actions are just, you know, look at today when we have all these wars in the Middle East. And people have been made to believe that other people are bad or other people are evil through these kind of orchestrated terrorist actions funded directly through proxy governments through Turkey and places like Saudi Arabia and things like that that directly link back to the United States. When you look at that, you see that when there's no fear and there's no war controlling the planet – that can kind of stabilize this illusion, because remember, that's what keeps it going. That's what ultimately keeps this going and keeps this great, all these secrets going. When you don't have that, they have to create it. And so that is how we're kind of kept in this box, by always keeping us afraid and in fear and fighting against one another. So when you have someone on the battlefield and they have their gun aimed down and pointing at someone else, and they have hatred for that person, what is it even for? How do they even know that person? That person probably had an entire lifetime of spending time with their children and hiking through the mountains and
yeah.
you know, teaching that person how to walk and tie their shoe for the first time and, you know, learning about the stars around them, and then you just killed them for nothing because you've been manipulated.
I think it also goes back to the serpent origins, and that our complex of our brain that just gets activated in that instinctual gator roll you to death, you know?
Well, you gotta be
without
careful.
without a thought, without a sound, complex. You know, they'll just take you out without a thought.
I would call it a reptilian complex, but I wouldn't call it a serpent complex, because remember, the ancient serpent knowledge goes back to Enki and the consciousness of the dragon. There's been some misconceptions that have come through with certain things, and a lot of tarnishing that has happened based on wanting to throw certain families completely under the bus of history, so that they're seen as the demons when they're actually the good guys in the end. Kind of inverts and flip it back and forth. So when you start looking at history, the great I want to point out something that you've really got to pay attention to, is that so many of the things that actually matter and so many of the things that connect back to the real truth have been completely inverted to the opposite meaning of what they really do mean. So when you see things like this scary idea of serpents and dragons, one of the most incredible truths that I've been able to come across, along with a lot of great other researchers like Gerald Clark, who've helped show the way, is things like all through Mesoamerica and like in places all over the in Asia, like in China and Japan, and all through these cultures, there's been this worshiping of the serpent and the dragon. Okay, and it's been hard to connect those two until you look at the idea of look at these serpent heads all throughout Mesoamerica from all of these ancient cultures that are all connected. And they all were connected to the stars and had these stories of ancient gods who led them and told them all about that and gave them that knowledge, right? And if you look at what a plumed serpent is and simply what that means, it's simply a dragon. And so and then go back to stories like the Garden of Eden with the serpent that gives us the forbidden knowledge. And then you look at our DNA strands with the interwoven serpents all throughout, which is the caduceus stone in our medical industry. All throughout history, there's been this idea of these serpents that have been and dragons that have been kind of hiding in the background. And we take them too literally. We take them to be an actual serpent or a dragon, when in reality, what they really mean, they represent these family factions and this knowledge. It represents universal knowledge. The great winged dragon. If you read Manly P. Hall, teaching for all ages. If you read about the story of Hermes when he meets the great dragon, Poimander, and you read about that and you learn that the dragon is been shown as this demonic thing that's been kind of like an evil thing. But it's actually the complete opposite. And in those, if you read back to the Manly P. Hall where he wrote
We're going to go on break in a second, ages, too. We're about to go on break in a second, too.
Sure. If you read about that, you'll see that he talks about how Hermes the Great meets with this celestial dragon, and at first it's very frightening, but then it transforms, and he realizes that it actually represents the complete opposite of what he originally thought. It was really – it's the mind and consciousness of the universe of all. It's the great mind of the universe, the creator of all, that kind of is the fabric of this interwoven network that designed in the background. And so when they realize that this knowledge that is represented through the great dragon, and which in a serpent knowledge, winged serpent is simply a dragon. That's why all these cultures all across the world have worshipped the serpent and dragon, because they were this representation of higher knowledge and consciousness, this lost aspect of our society that was then stampeded and wiped out by the ego, which we can talk about.
We'll pick it up right when we get back from break. And you know, you're right, not always does it represent, you know, the actual serpent. Just like when, like you mentioned, Robert Temple's Serious Mystery, just like in that book when they're talking about the rising of the serpent's tooth, they're talking about Sirius rising on the horizon.
That's right. Exactly. There's so many metaphors that we take literally.
So many metaphors. Exactly. So we'll come back. We're going to get right back into it, everybody. The name of the song coming up is The Carrot Lie by Analog Driver. You can find them on Reverb Nation. We'll be back with Matt LaCroix right after this. Spiral Out.
Yeah.
your source for everything paranormal. Para X.
And we are back. My name is Ra from themysticalspiral.com, and we have Matt LaCroix with us. That's LaCroix, and he's at the Illusion of Us on Facebook and on Amazon. And before the break, you know, we were talking about the divine serpent legends and how it relates to our history. And before that, we were talking about the veil society has put on us and everything like that. And so I guess we'll just pick it up right back where we left off, Matt.
That's a great place to jump in. So let's start with religion really quick. And this is a touchy subject for a lot of people. But we should separate ourselves from our emotional connection to how we feel about information and simply just look at it objectively for what it is. And if we do, on the surface, if you look into religion and you look into the more pure aspects of what still survives of what religion was supposed to be, and, you know, that's a bold thing to say, but if you look at ancient history and the teachings that connect directly back to what the writings of kind of the Bible did say, but then were kind of rewritten, you could read things like the Nag Hammadi scriptures or the Book of Enoch. And that's actually the same author that then kind of got rewritten around, and that's Enoch.
And it's funny too, because you look at the Nag Hammadi, Nag is serpent, it's Naga is Nag, you know, right there,
there
it's Nag Hammadi, you know.
And thank you, Ra, that's a great connection right there. And so look at that for a minute and look at how the name serpent is directly related to those teachings, right? So then you say, okay, well, what was the pure teachings of what religion was supposed to be? And you read about what we just mentioned, the Nag Hammadi Library, the Book of Enoch, and then you read things like the Atrahasis, and you see that religion was supposed to be based on simply us reaching spiritually our highest conscious level possible. That's it. It meant us connecting to the stars around us and being free from any bondage of these things that held us to a mindset that was limited to the third dimension. Because the third dimension, the physical world around us, is merely just one aspect of what exists. And we're actually really multidimensional beings. So if you keep us in the third dimensional mindset, it's like it's complete slavery. And so let's look at these religions that have stayed more pure all across the world. Hinduism and Buddhism, areas revolving around India, Tibet, Nepal, connecting right into the influences of, you know, the dragons seen in Asia and China, China and Japan. You look at that, and you see how they've been worshiping the snake in India for so long, countless generations. You know, the cobra and all these different snakes, it keeps coming back to the serpent over and over again. And is it any coincidence that the religions that are most pure still in their original form, relating to our spirituality and connecting to our conscious world around us, as opposed to the physical world around us, that they are the ones represented by the snake worshiping? I mean, that's not a coincidence at all. It's simply just metaphors for them. And another incredible connection is in North America, in Mesoamerica, all the way down through South America, we had the idea of the Native American plumed headdress, right? And one of the aspects I mentioned before the break was that all these things that connect back to who we really are and the truths of our ancient history and this knowledge has been inverted. And so what I always thought of my life and I've been taught was that the Native American headdresses that have been seen for thousands of miles of different cultures all the way up and down the Americas, they all represented just, you know, birds, just eagle, just like representing the eagle. Yeah, that's it. And then through people like Gerald Clark and looking through these ancient connections in these writings in there, you begin to realize that it was actually the plumed serpent. It was the dragon. That's why the feathers are not the same bird. If you look at all of the plumed feathers on the Native American headdresses, they're all different kinds of feathers because that was supposed to represent the entire embodiment of this ancient serpent knowledge that goes all the way back to the fact that the Native American cultures that we see that connect back to the Aztlan, the Hopi, the Pueblo in the United States, and then all the way down through the Aztec, right down through the Mayan and the Inca and the Olmec and the Toltec, they're all connected. They're all based on the same groups of gods that were fighting over how these civilizations were going to turn out. One side of them, the serpent side, the dragon side, came first, created all the civilizations, taught them the wisdom of the stars, created the temples and the pyramids to worship them, which is why you can see direct connections to the pyramids that are designed in Mexico at Teotihuacan and those seen in Egypt. You can see the same 52-cubit design reference for how they design the stone ratios. You can see the same kind of designs that are done. And so what happened after that? All these cultures were created, connected to the stars and all this ancient knowledge. That's why they were so conscious, and they created all these incredible things that we can't even create today. And then they became corrupted by blood sacrifice, war, and then conquered by what we think of as heroes today, right?
Yep.
So let's look at our everyday heroes. Columbus, Cortez, Pizarro. Three men that have holidays, and you know, people in Mexico are celebrating and saying, yay, thank you for being the founder. But in reality, these were slave, gold hunger mongrels that just wanted to the church basically hired the best warriors they could. These men who had no
I have hearts, interesting
right?
I have interesting information about Columbus too, because he is actually like tied to some people in my lineage. His name is actually Cristoforo Colombo.
Ooh.
And he was an Italian, and he came from a family of strega, which are witches. And
there you go.
He basically was told, go convert people to Christianity or we're going to burn you alive.
And if you – we have some episodes on – I have a YouTube channel where we've created – I've created a lot of content. You can just find it in my name, Matthew LaCroix. We have a lot of things on there. And some of the episodes we have of this Anunnaki series talks about the roots back to Columbus, Pizarro, and Cortez, and about what they really did and how – Columbus is supposedly is on this Western spice trade route to find a route to India, right? To help get, you know, increase their trade and all these things. That's what we've been told in school. But in reality, if you look at how Columbus sailed and found the New World and first landed in these islands just north of the Dominican Republic and in those areas south of the Bahamas, the first thing they did was take slaves from the people and then find out where the gold they possessed came from.
Yeah.
And then he immediately went down the Dominican Republic and then Puerto Rico, and they never went west. He never even went to Mexico. If he was trying to find a western route, then why would he make more than three trips?
And then he showed them something simple like a mirror, and they were so astonished by it, they gave him their gold, you know?
And he took it by force, too. And that's why that idea of that they were trying to do that, and it was the reasoning behind all of that, is all a lie. It's all to keep the truth of what they were actually there for. And there was two reasons they were there. They were there one, to get gold, because there was a lot of gold that was known about in the Americas, especially in South America, which they didn't find out till later. But they were also trying to destroy this knowledge. See, it's always been a battle of these two families against the idea of humanity having their highest state of consciousness and kind of having that direction be their timeline and going that way versus the idea of keeping humanity in this veil where they are trapped in the third dimensional material world and they spend all their life working and they never know the truth of who they are. Those are the two sides that have been fighting. What I've found out is this symbology has been shown in flags and crests and statues all over the world for every single warring culture versus every single conscious enlightening culture. They had the same symbols. And of course, you already know the conscious enlightening symbol was represented by the serpent and the dragon.
But do you think it's just symbolism, or there actually was the Draco species as well that's been genetically manipulating, you know, different beings for eons?
I believe that may exist, but that has been manipulated into to trick people for this very knowledge. I believe that this is the great secret, and what I've come across is I thought the exact same thing. I thought it was this idea of there's this constellation called Alpha Draconis, and there were these Alpha Draconian beings, and they were actually part of this. And then I realized that it was a trick. That was even though that there could be dragon-like beings that exist, that was a manipulation to hide the truth of what the dragon serpent knowledge really meant, because it connected back to our highest conscious state. That's what that knowledge connected back to. And those who are fighting over it, now let's look at the other side of the coin. Let's look at all the warring cultures of our planet. Let's start with things like the Romans with the double-headed eagle and the eagle. And then you look at the Spanish conquerors, right? Columbus, Pizarro, and Cortez, all flying the Spanish eagle. Puerto Rico also had an eagle. And then you see places like Albania and Russia, all. And then, of course, the most famous of all, the United States, which, by the way, look at our founding fathers who were part of the original Freemasons, who were part of this conscious serpent knowledge, believe it or not. That's why the obelisk, the Washington Monument, is an obelisk in Washington, D.C. They wanted a turkey to be the symbol of the United States. The eagle was the last thing they ever wanted to be, because they knew what it meant. The eagle has always represented, those who took on the eagle represented the cultures who were conquered by that side of the family. And so it's been this battle, this secret battle that humanity.
Or it could represent those who came from the sky, and the serpent came from those who came from the lower realms.
Well, it is. It is. What you got to understand is these families simply take on symbolage to mean what they want to represent. And symbols have been swapped back and forth for thousands of years. Some symbols that used to mean something else. Let's take a famous one. Everything's been inverted, like the Nazi symbol. That used to be a symbol of eternal life.
Yeah, a spiraling vortex. Yeah,
exactly. Yep. These have all been inverted. ISIS, the terrorist group, that's simply an ancient Sumerian god that's part of these Anunnaki lineage to the mother of mankind. It's the complete opposite, because they've been inverting all these things. That's why they've kind of tricked this idea of serpent and dragons being bad. Because if we think it's the opposite, we'll never look down that to be the truth. And a lot of people have fought me on this, and I understand. But if you go start looking at this knowledge connecting back to not only religion, but these ancient, all the Mesoamerica stuff with the serpent and the dragon, and places like China and Japan, how they're more mature cultures that are still largely based on some of those old values, you always see those same symbols. And you touched on a good point, the serpent of the underworld. We're talking about a side of the family who also represented, this being is called Enki, and he represented both kind of the lord of the waters, but also the lord of the earth and the under the world.
So he would be like Poseidon or Lucifer?
Yes. No, he was Poseidon. So Enki was represented as Poseidon with the trident, and that's why the trident was then inverted to mean Satan. So Satan is actually Poseidon. They just inverted it.
Yeah.
So Satan's not actually real. They took what really is, it connects back to this knowledge.
I agree with that, yeah.
And they completely inverted it. So then you get back to the eagle. Eagles are beautiful creatures. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with attacking and being superior from above.
Like a Garuda.
You are dominant. That is your. That was the symbol that always represented both this side of the family, which was known as Enlil, and his sons Ninurta and Esgaredad. And so these are the gods of our history that have manipulated our timeline all along.
I agree, and I mean, and if you read about them, they are very incestuous and evil, both sides. You know,
there's been fighting going all along. So let's just picture this. You're these two powerful brothers who one outranks the other slightly, and you have this hierarchical kingship that you come from, which is why we have that model on Earth. That's where it came from. Go read in so many places in the Bible, they mention kingship was lowered from heaven, because it was. It came from somewhere else. So you have this kingship, male-dominated hierarchy system that exists in where they came from, right? Call it Planet X. And they they need to come here because they have to acquire certain resources and they have to use humanity for certain means. But the future of humanity is what's being fought over. You know, one side wants it to be this conscious side and the other one wants it to be this control side because there's this deep greed and jealousy over what we are. And what we are is the great secret, this divine spark that's been placed in us. You know, Enki was this master geneticist who
– they're fighting over our soul.
Yes, who basically altered us and jumpstarted evolution millions of years but also gave us their DNA. That's why – and Ra, you know this so well. We have this massive amount of our DNA they consider junk DNA, and all it simply is these beings. They're called the Anunnaki, which – I know there's a lot of stigma around that word, but all it simply means is the Sumerian name for these beings. So the first advanced people on Earth, right? If you go back as far as you can possibly go with these cuneiform writings,
to stop you for 1 second, too, right there, like I remember, like they have the Anunnaki name, but they also have the righteous justice one. I think it's the righteous just ones of the rockets, the Dinjur. You know,
they have so many different names, and
E Din was their home, like E period Din. You know, it was that was their home, the home of righteousness or the righteous ones or whatever, the righteous.
And this Earth has been this stage that's been fought over, and we think of it on such a physical level, and it was fought over physically, and now it's being fought over physically only on the surface of what we perceive with the human beings. When in reality, it's kind of like this giant puppet show from higher dimensions and lower dimensions, both trying to manipulate us. And when these beings would go down into the third dimension, it would always be called the plane. And so those who were of the darker side, of those who didn't want the conscious evolution of us, they would always be trying to steer the direction of our timeline a certain way by manipulating us through war, manipulating us through simply just acquiring natural resources as fast as possible and fighting each other, segregation, nationality, fighting against one another, even though we're both just people and we have nothing to do with hating each other, but we're just killing each other because that model is simply one of the models of how that side of the family, this Enlil side.
It talks about how when they first came down, they like made a, I mean, I think they had a dry land spaceport or something, but when they initially came down, they made a splash in the sea or the Arabian Sea, what is now.
Right.
And I think that's what they called it, like celestial boats. And then like one of your misconceptions that you talk about with having a serpent like being, it leads to that. And it goes, they saw these fishmen emerged, but it was really what it was. It was like a human head with underneath the scuba gear or whatever you want to call it. You know, a fish head with a human head underneath, and they had like fish tails underneath, underneath the, with feet underneath. So
because
it's almost like they had some kind of sea gear, you know?
Yes. So, and you brought up that point, and it's something we probably don't have a time to go way down in, but you get like this remote tribe like in Africa. I mean, if you think about a spark of information, all of this wealth that's out there, this piles of information and misinformation out there, where do you start? I recommend you start with something like Robert Temple's The Serious Mystery and look into the Dogon.
The newer version, the updated version, yeah.
For me, as someone who, if you need something that is evidence that will just, there's no way you can refute it, right? If you want to look into something that will start you on that path, we all need something that's going to spark us to say, there's something wrong, we've been lied to, or there's something that I can seek that I'm not being told. And if you want to look for that, go look into the Dogon and go look into the Serious Mystery connecting back to Egypt. And the idea is this: there are these remote people who were visited by some anthropologists and some researchers in the 1930s, and they visited these remote people in Mali, Africa, who had vast knowledge of the cosmos, but specifically the Sirius star system.
Sirius B, which was virtually invisible too.
So in Canis Major, they knew about how the exact orbits of all the planets. They knew all these things that had not even been discovered yet, right? And Ra just mentioned, they knew about this second sun called Sirius B. We knew about Sirius A that we could see the naked with our own eye.
Pocholo,
which is actually one of the brightest suns in the night sky. But Sirius B, it's too dim for us to see with our own eyes. And so the Dogon knew about all of these things that you could not know about unless you had advanced technology. And the Dogon, of course, didn't have any telescopes or anything like that. And so the Dogon knew about all of these vast amounts of knowledge about the cosmos and Sirius constellations and these suns and all these things. And when they asked where they got that knowledge from, they talked about how these beings called that they called the Nomo, these fish people. And Ra mentioned, well, why are all these gods all over the earth represented by fish and lions and tigers and monsters? They're simply just misrepresented and also sometimes used as metaphors for what they stand for in their symbolism. So these are all just simply advanced beings that gave knowledge to different cultures all over the world, and some knowledge was given based on good and some was based on bad. For instance, if you went to a culture and gave them the idea that if you sacrificed other human beings and their blood, and that it would bring those gods that had helped them in the past, if you gave them that idea and they turned into that kind of culture, you can see how that kind of information could corrupt a culture. And that's how the very idea of how these civilizations all over the world, especially in the Americas, were kind of fought over by these two sides of what their kind of perceptions of what they wanted humanity. Because, and I know we probably don't have a lot of time left, why all this, right? Why do this? Because Enki, when they jumpstart our evolution, you can look at our evolution, they're trying to find that missing link, they're never gonna find it. The missing link represents the normal progression of growth if it was simply an evolutionary means, right? Why the brain jumped, doubled in size in a mere short amount of time. Why? And they can't find it because they're not going to, because it's based on genetic altercations from these beings. And what happened was Enki had always wanted to create a being that was a being in the image of the creator of all, like literally a being that could be perfect, perfect being of light. And he did it with us. And he did not tell Enlil. And at the time, Enlil, his brother, he was in command of everything because he's a higher level than him in this kingship idea we need to wrap our minds around. And so he had command and control of how things went, but he didn't know that this had happened. So Enki secretly locked all these things in our DNA, and they were pulled apart, and they were left unplugged within our chakras. That's why when people go on this path of spirituality and conscious expansion, it's always the same thing. It simply represents your DNA repairing itself and unlocking your chakras, pineal gland, pineal, unlocking all the things that have become dormant inside us to become who you really were. We've been called the children of men, of mankind, because we're like children walking around that are not actually our real selves. We're all kind of walking around in a kind of a sleeplessness of what we really could be. And so these things were kept inside our DNA, and they're just unlocking now because it's based on like where we are in the cosmos, based on our vibrational structure. And that's why, I know we're going all over the place, but to reconnect things like the Mayans and how all these prophecies, how humanity would reach a conscious level where this information could be heard, it represented a time when we could all of a sudden, the veil would kind of be lifted.
Yep. And we gotta close now because the next show is coming on. But we're gonna have back Matt. I mean, so much information. We're definitely gonna have you back if you want to come on. Everybody, it's Matt LaCroix. That's LaCroix, and you can find him on Amazon and Facebook and YouTube. So
yeah,
check
please
him out
visit
there.
My YouTube. And thank you so much for having me on, Ry. I really appreciate it. I have
anytime.
A lot more content on that.
Yeah, no, it was great. I really appreciate having you guys. And once again, I say, spiral out.
Reflecting inside your